Track 1. Introduction.
The land army fights in the fields. It is in the fields and forests of Britain that the most critical battle of the war may well be fought and won. Lady Denman, 1939, founder of the Women's Land Army. Imagine, it's June 1945. The Second World War has just come to its conclusion in Europe and the men are returning home. The Women's Timber Corps, the forestry division of the Women's Land Army, have spent the last 3 years helping the Home Guard to bridge the labour and timber shortfall in Britain. In 1942, Lois Jones had just turned 18 when she volunteered for the Lumberjills, as they became affectionately known. When she left her hometown of Bangor to take up her first posting here in the Dovey Forest, she didn't realise how long she would stay, or the important lifeline she and her 6,000 colleagues would provide for the country. It's understood that a timber corps will be disbanded over the coming months as the young men who battled in the trenches seek work back in Britain. Lois is, of course, pleased that the war is over, but a chapter of unexpected friendship and camaraderie is drawing to an end. If you'd like to hear more about Lois's story, follow the red waymarkers on the Cwmcadian Trail and look out for the MP3 posts. Track 2. I think all the best ones must be soldiers.
Hello there. Have you seen Mr. Evans up here? There's still a fair bit to do, even though the war is over. Nonetheless, I'm not sure how much work there is for us Lumberjills these days. We've played our part, you know. It's already starting to look different since I came in 42. It was a glorious summer's day. We had some laughs over the last 3 years, but it's not been easy. I'm lucky, really. Most of the land girls are English and can't speak a word of Welsh. Still, it's been a bit of a shock for me, having grown up in Bangor. I think the locals, especially the wives, have been a bit wary of us too. Thought we're going to steal their men. Although, between you and me, I think all the best ones must be soldiers. I can understand it, but we were only here to do our bit, in the country's hour of need and all that. I'm very proud of what we've achieved. When I first came here, I did all the usual forestry labour work, you know, cutting timber, burning the brash, and even did a bit in the sawmill and nursery here. Now they've got me in the office, which is a promotion, so they say. I'm Lois, by the way. I've got to head off into the mountain later to measure some of the trees at Blaen Glesyrch, just north of here on the other side of the road. The Home Guard have already been in there once to measure up for the pit props, but as they say, if you want a job doing properly... If you want to join me, I can show you what, if you'd like. Come along.
Track 3. I'd much rather have the fresh air of the mountains.
As you can see, it's not much of a forest yet. Not too many tall trees to speak of. What with German submarines, the U-boats, targeting our merchant ships, we've got to become more self-sufficient, they say, even though the war's ended. The girls from the Forestry Commission are busy planting this up with softwoods. Quick growers from Scandinavia. Oh, the trees, that is. The forestry girls are local. Most of them are only young, 15, 16 or so. They didn't join the land army, just got a job with the forestry. They weren't best pleased to find out they were getting paid half what we did. And they don't get the beret either. It was an easy choice for me, you know, joining the timber corps. I'd much rather have the fresh air of the mountains than the confines of a munitions factory. And the uniform? Rather fetching, don't you think? I remember a big brown paper parcel being delivered just a few days after passing my medical. I spread everything across the bed, then proceeded to try it all on. Green jerseys, riding breeches, dungarees, woolen knee socks, beige knit shirts and a tie. We had a pair of boots, brown shoes and gum boots, plus overall coats, one Melton overcoat and a Macintosh. And there at the bottom in a separate wrapping was my green armlet, a metal badge, and the Bakelite badge for my green beret. I felt really important. To this day, Mrs. Lloyd, my landlady, even scrubs my boots. They're a lovely couple, they are. It's a good thing, though, because there's just one room downstairs, no kitchen, and the toilet is down steps by the river. Upstairs has two bedrooms, A single room that Mr. and Mrs. Lloyd are in, and a double bedroom for me. And as it turned out, Lily. We had to share the small space, sleeping head to toe. She was a lovely lass too, but like all the other girls, they were only here for a few months before moving on. Oh, I just need to nip over to Violet, one of the forestry girls planting just over there. Hold that thought and I'll catch up with you later.
Track 4. Let's face it, we were townies.
Sorry about that. Now where was I? Oh yes, the other girls. Well, you see, we were all sent here for training originally, to break us in, you know. No one was meant to be here for more than a month or so, but the district officer, Owen his name was, he offered me a job looking after the office. I'd been doing some clerical work back home, see. 15 of us came for the training, and our first job was to go up to Penlan on the other side of the road. Somebody had already felled the trees so that they could be used for telegraph poles. We then had to cut off the brush, you know, the branches, so they were just left with the long trunks. At the end of each day, we had to burn the brush and bury the ashes in the ground. Oh, we'd come back to our digs with bloodshot eyes from the smoke and hands blackened with a mixture of soil, ash and resin. Well, as the days went on, the weather got hotter and hotter, and Charlie Williams, who was in charge of us, he saw that we buried it correctly each day. Now, I remember there being some dispute that it was getting too dry to burn, but the powers that be said carry on. So we went up this particular Saturday morning and we burned and we buried, and Charlie made sure it was buried correctly. Well, it was the postman that spotted the fire later that afternoon. Being so dry, it had gone underneath the ground, and there was little anybody could do. Oh, it went up like tinder and right across the top of the mountain. Being so dry, there was nothing you could do to stop it. It burnt for nearly a week, it did. It was a disaster. Even made the national news. They couldn't put it out with water. There was no water. The Aber Glesirch was just a small stream. A lot of the people in the village went up to help, including the forestry girls. Some cycled up on their bicycles, beating at the fire with their coats. They claimed overtime for it too. We didn't go up, but someone told me later that fire engines from Birkenhead and Birmingham came, and the army too. It was a wonderful sight, I have to say, but the land girls got the blame for it. We shouldn't have been burning, but we were under orders, you know. Let's face it, we were townies and didn't know any better, but Charlie decided that it had been buried properly. I felt awful, and it didn't help our relations with the locals. But one silver lining, if you can call it that, is that the whole mountainside, you know, where the fire was, has been awash with bilberries for the last couple of summers. Listen to me chatting on. We'd better keep walking so you can see everything.
Track 5. I don't think I'd picked up anything heavier than a hairbrush.
Not far from here is the nursery. I had a spell in there for a bit after the fire. Not as punishment, you know. We just had to try our hand at everything before the training ended. I guess eventually that will all be planted up too, so there'll probably be no sign of it one day. Goodness knows how many trenches I must have dug for the saplings. The forestry girls then brought them onto the mountainside to plant. Violet was just cursing me about having to plant several hundred more acres to replace the trees lost in the fire. "Least it keeps you in a job," I told her. "All the time you lumberjills are here," she replied. It seems funny to think that these little trees will be towering above us in 60-70 years, all ready to be harvested. So long as there are no fires, that is. We've done a bit of felling too, you know. Before I came here, I don't think I'd picked up anything heavier than a hairbrush. And there we were, swinging a 7-pound axe. It was only small stuff, but the men were impressed. I remember waking up that next day. I could barely move. It must have been a Saturday, a half day, because there was a concert later that night in Machynlleth. Mind you, it didn't stop us dancing. We rode our bicycles, you know. There was a full moon and the trees were casting all these eerie shadows. The sound of animals, well, I think they were animals, screeching and scurrying in the woods too. Even with aching muscles, we found the strength to ride home at breakneck speed. Speaking of which, We should probably get a move on.
Track 6. The oak gave you a warning.
I'm often down in Machynlleth, you know. There's the cinema, of course, and the stables at the Red Lion. One of my favourite jobs was touching the timber. I used to collect one of the horses from there, big old mare she was, and we'd spend the day pulling all the fallen timber out of the woods. Not long after, they started using a tractor. Betty was the one for that. She'd change the oil, clean the carburettor, and even fix it when it broke down, quite often, as I recall. She's married now, left the land army, of course. Nowadays, I'm responsible for dispatch. Most of the timber goes off on lorries from the woods to Machynlleth. It's either taken to the railway station, where I then go down to dispatch 12, 14, sometimes 16 trucks from the station, or to the two sawmills. We all fought to work in there, of course. You were allowed to cut up the waste bark using a small electric saw, bag it up, and sell it as firewood. There isn't much wood wasted. The birch goes for brushbacks, you know, scrubbing brushes, ash for axe handles, poplar for matches, alder for clogbacks, and the oak, well, that goes mainly to the mines in South Wales. The South Wales miners won't have softwood pit props because the oak gives you a warning, a creak before it gives. Wasn't as cheap, mind. Perhaps that's why the Midland miners have the softwood. Either way, I'm glad us girls don't have to go down the pits. We developed quite a technique for stacking the pit props in sleepers. With a girl on each end, we'd swing them back and forth and release them on top of each other. We coped quite well with the softwoods. The oak ones, on the other hand. Come on, let's head down to the river now.
Track 7. A bottle of beer and a Bible.
We'd always eat our sandwiches down by the river at break time. The rations don't nearly go far enough, though, and they'd always be eaten by 10 o'clock. What's worse, Mr. Llewellyn, the foreman, would always come with a huge box of sandwiches and proceed to feed his dog the fruitcake. All us girls would just sit there drooling. Oh, and before I forget, I've got a good bit of advice for you. When it gets cold, wear something woolen around your middle and you'll never feel the cold again. I knitted myself a woolen piece, you know, a strip just like a scarf, and I fasten it around my middle with safety pins. You'll never feel the cold. Mr. Owen told me that, and he's right. Although I have to say, not everyone's so keen on knitting. There's a hut just up the way that we can go into when it's raining. William Speck used to do his nut because I'd bring my knitting. He'd go mad. Do you have to make that eternal clacking sound, he'd say. There are quite a few places to shelter, you know. There's a house at Esgair Lwyd, a mile east of Corris. It was empty when we first went there, and all it had in it was a beer bottle and an old Bible. That was the first day of rain we'd seen. And it just drove and drove past us all day. We couldn't believe it. I hope I'm not putting you off. Mr. Lloyd always says, when you're old and you look back at all this, it will be the happiest days of your life. You know, I have a feeling he might be right. Anyway, you've probably got a better idea of what goes on here now. Mr. Evans said he'd meet me here at... Oh, well, look at that. Here he is now. I'd best get up to Blaen Glesir to see what the Home Guard have been doing with those pit props. It was nice meeting you. Perhaps I'll see you here again soon. Bye.